nervous.
Blog Talk Radio.
You're about to listen to the Roman Show.
The most informative show in mixed martial arts and pro wrestling on the net. Award-winning journalist Rodolfo Roman tackles and gets down to the nitty-gritty of the sport with exclusive interviews. Sit back, relax, stay up to date. Let the Roman Show inform you. Call in live to participate. 714-868-0222. Let the Roman Show begin.
Welcome on this very special episode of the Roman Show. However, we will be back this Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. And we will be replaying the interview we're going to have in just a few minutes of Mike Wessel, who will be fighting this Friday night in Bellator against Ryan Martinez. This heavyweight, a veteran of the sport, was a part of the Ultimate Fighter, the heavyweight section of that program, and tonight we have him on the show to speak a little bit about his fight against Ryan Martinez, another heavyweight with a great record of 7-1. He'll be facing off this Friday night at Bellator, which will air live on Spike.com, the prelim, and the main card will air on MTV2 at 8 p.m. So, without further ado, before we bring in Mike, I'd like to speak briefly on last night's Strikeforce card. Ronda Rousey, just phenomenal with that submission victory. Misha Tate, who we had on the program, defeated her opponent as well with a submission that really came out of nowhere. It seemed like Misha Tate was pretty much done, but when you least expect it, the cupcake came through, and she pretty much put the frosting on that victory, and Tate took this one home. Jacare with a phenomenal knockout as well. And OVP, what an amazing knocker in that third round with a left jab that literally sent his opponent, TJ Cook, straight to the canvas. It really, really, really sent him to another place. It's a great show from Strikeforce. Most of the victories coming in the first round, but I must say they were very entertaining. From here on out, well, we have Bellator. We have Titan coming up as well on Access TV this Friday night. So we got some MMA left before the September 1st UFC 151 with John Jones versus Dan Henderson for the light heavyweight championship on the line. A lot of talk about that, and everyone wants to see that fight. Could Henderson's wrestling be a big factor against John Jones? You know, we haven't really seen John Jones tested on the ground. Most of his attack has been on his feet. Shogun Rua attempted to take it to the ground, but it didn't really work out that his way, as John Jones defeated Rua for the belt via ground and pound action. So let's see if Dan Henderson's going to have an effect with this wrestling. Now we're going to get a hold of Mike here on the program on the Roman Chart. Again, this interview will be replayed on Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m. as we get a hold of Mike here on the Roman Show. As he will be fighting again, guys.
Hello?
Friday night. Hey, Mike, how are you, my man?
Good, how are you?
Good, thanks, man. Thank you so very much, and welcome to the show. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, is the pronunciation of your last name Wessel?
Wessel.
Wessel, there you go. Mike Wessel, thanks very much, Mike, for taking some time and speaking to us. I know you're going to be busy the rest of the week, and as I mentioned to the folks, we are live right now, but we will be replaying this interview on Wednesday night. Well, Mike, first and foremost, man, you're back on the big promotion. Last year you only had one fight. Earlier you fought in June, and you're back at it again. How are you preparing for another shot at a big promotion like Bellator, man?
Man, I tell you what, it's been different. You know, I went through a difficult divorce and everything else, and I kind of took some time off. I did some pro boxing matches just to fill the void of fighting and everything, and then now I kind of got a couple good coaches I bring in, and, you know, like they can one drive 5 hours just to come train with me on the weekends or, you know, how many days we can get in. And, you know, so I'm working with Max Bishop and Aaron Kimball. You know, when Max has been under go-car for for his whole life pretty much, and he teaches me a lot of MMA, and Tommy Morrison's cousin is Aaron Kimball. So he's been around boxing his whole life, and it's just been, you know, I bring in the guys that I think can help and make me successful and understand how I fight, you know. So I think camps went really well. You know, I had to take some time off after the divorce. My heart wasn't in it. You know, I've been lifting weights and going hard since I was, you know, in sixth grade and between pro football and everything else and, you know, college and all that stuff. And, you know, when the divorce hit, I just didn't have the heart and desire to be dominant anymore, I guess, is the way to say it. So
yeah.
I had to take some time off, but ever since I came back, I'm happy as hell, and, you know, good things have been going on, really good things.
Yeah, Mike.
Sorry, I got my dog out here. Come here.
Hey, come on. Oh, no, it's cool, man. We always like to have it on the show, very reality-like, you know, so anything is going to be on the scene, we always like to announce it. We have no problem here, man. It's just a show that we really give you guys a chance to speak your mind. But, Mike, you definitely, like you mentioned, you went through a tough, dear divorce. In fact, that your wife had said that she had cancer, but it turned out to be fake. And prior to that, you also got in trouble with the law. So that 2010 was really not a good year for you, although you were part of the Ultimate Fighter at that time.
Yeah, that whole experience was a tough thing. I went into the house thinking she had cancer and was going to die, and all, you know, that we were never going to have kids, definitely. And, you know, I came out of the house and she said, I'm totally fine. My mom and my sister went with me, and, you know, and then come find out when the show aired, they didn't know I talked about it, but that's all I thought about on the show was, you know, when you're on the show, you don't get to communicate back home or know how she was, and I was just, you know, wasn't in the right mindset. So when I came out and found out that she didn't have cancer, it was a really difficult thing to deal with, and I tried to make it work because, I mean, I truly loved her, and it just wasn't going to work. And then when I left her, you know, I was living in the gym I own, and I left her with the house and everything else, and things just kept going and going. And I'm not going to say I don't have an occasional drink and everything else, but, you know, it was kind of like a coming out when I got in trouble by the law. I left her, and, you know, it was a 4th of July weekend. I was at the river all weekend. And it was one of those things that I normally don't even go out in public anymore. I don't even, you know, I send my wife, my now wife, to the grocery store and to Walmart and everything else just because I don't like to be out in public anymore. It's just kind of one of those things where I live in a smaller town and people, you know, seem to act different towards you, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, I did some stupid things and, you know, made some comments I shouldn't have made, you know, and it's just that's the way it is. And, you know, I got past that and past that part of my life and, you know, made some actually good friends out of it, you know, happen to be police officers, you know, mm-hmm. that are very good friends, you know. So, you know, just things, it's funny how things work out, but it was a really tough year that year. So I knew after I lost, when I went and fought in Murfreesboro against that Scott Barrett. You know, I got in the cage and I didn't give a shit if I won or lost. I was just there. It was like paycheck and who cares. You know, I didn't even care anymore, and I didn't want to feel like that ever again if I was going to fight. So I just kind of distanced myself from MMA and just kind of worked on my boxing and, you know, just to be away from it, just to get that desire back. And, you know, opportunity comes up and show fights came and I was ready and felt very good about the fight. And so things seem to be going really well since then. I mean, I couldn't be happier right now just for the simple fact that I had a little boy 3 days ago. You know, my son was born and, you know, yeah, so we just brought him home yesterday and we're very happy with how things, come on, you know, how he's doing. He's perfectly healthy and things are going really well. So, you know, I'm really excited about how things are turning out right now.
And I'm sure that that's a double motivation for you come this Friday night when you fight Ryan Martinez. And, you know, Mike, and I think this is a good and possibly even a lesson to some of the fighters. And I say this because let's take a look at Jason Mahan Miller, who recently just lost it. You know, he found him naked in the church, and it all happened because he lost his career with the MMA. But, Mike, how much does the stress outside of the cage affect the fighter?
Man, you know, if you have a good home life and a good setup and a good, and you surround yourself with good people that care about you and generally understand a fighter's life, it can be amazing. Like right now, Christy, my wife, is one of the biggest supporters. She brings me food when I need it. She knows that I'm going to be training late. She knows that I'm going to be away a lot, you know, and I have to travel to Memphis, which is a 3-hour round trip drive just to go train. So if you have the support system and the people that truly understand what you're doing and care about it, it could be amazing. But, you know, and where it's so much less stressful. But if you allow the negatives and, like, generic word entourage and your buddies and everything into your life that maybe not are your friends or your buddies and everything else, it can be very stressful because, you know, there's always, I call them vampires, there's always vampires that want to be part of the, oh, you're winning, you're the greatest person in the world, you're the greatest fighter in the world. And then, you know, every fighter loses, and when you lose, you find out really how much people give a shit about you. You know, they sit, I'm sorry,
right.
Cuss, but they seem to, you know, want to be around you when you're winning and how you're on TV and everything. And then when you lose, they you know, you're the worst fighter in the world, you're a piece of crap, you don't even deserve to be on the show, or whatever you were doing. So it was kind of, you know, it could be really stressful if people that you have around you don't understand the training lifestyle. You know, it's not a 9-to-5 job. It's an all-day job. Plus, most of us still have jobs. Most of us don't make, you know, the $180,000 a fight or whatever it is. So, I run a gym, and if it wasn't for my wife, you know, helping out the gym and doing things that need to be done, I wouldn't be able to, you know, concentrate on my training and be where I need to be. So it really has to do with how you surround yourself and who you let into your little world and how much they support you. If they understand it, it could be great. If they don't, it could be hell.
Now, during that time, did you seek any help, any therapy?
You know, me and my ex-wife went to several counselors. I think it was a total of 7, and they all said the same thing. I was an enabler to her. If I couldn't fix it, it was always my fault and everything else. And I had 7 counselors tell me to divorce. But you know, as far as counseling, you know, the best counselor I had, and we weren't even dating, we weren't even together. She was just my assistant at that time, which is my wife. We just talked about life in general, and she's, you know, she's got a really experienced just as my friend. You know, we were friends for almost 2 years before we even did anything, kissed or, you know, went on a date or anything, because I wouldn't allow myself to be, you know, put in a situation where I could even love somebody, you know, so even like somebody like that anymore, you know, because it was so difficult to kind of get over. But, you know, as far as the counseling, you know, I went through marriage counseling over there, but after that, it was kind of, you know, I'm a strong-willed person, and as long as, you know, you have somebody that you know, I talk to on a daily basis, which was Christy, she, you know, she kind of, you know, seen the ups and downs and what I was struggling with and, you know, the hardships that I went through. You know, and I don't mean to say it was all, you know, oh, poor me, you know, it was such a tough thing. You know, this is life, you know. you know, it's one of those things where you can only handle so much, and then you go nuts. And I think I handled what I could, and I lost a little bit, but I got everything back. And you know, I don't ever expect anybody to go, oh, well, that sucks for him. No, you know, that's life. Everybody's got problems. You know, it's just how you deal with them. And I think at that time I did a lot of things incorrectly, you know, and emotionally, you know, and I'm not normal like that. So, you know, it has, with Christy, you know, she was my biggest counselor and biggest fan, and she's always been there for me.
Wow. Well, Mike, you definitely have had a big, large mountain to climb there, but you're definitely on track now. You'll be fighting Friday, August 24th, Bellator, against Ryan Martinez, who has a nice record, this kid, 7-1, but definitely you're a veteran of the sport. And recently you had a victory in June via TKO. So you're free spirit. You're a happy guy now. You seem like you've gotten your whole career in life straight now. But, Mike, what can we see come this Friday night against Ryan Martinez? And anything that you can say about your opponent?
You know, Ryan's a hell of a fighter. He's a big dude. He's a monster as far as, you know, his size, his power. You know, he has some explosion, you know, that is, you know, but I think he controls a lot of fights. He dominates his fights just for simply because of that fact, and he's a southpaw. You know, so I'm, you know, I'm not one to shy away from getting hit or hitting. So I'm definitely not going to dance around very much. And, I mean, I expect one of us to be knocked out in the first round. You know, it could be me, it could be him. But, you know I'm going to bring the fight to him. I don't think anybody's really ever done that, you know, from what I've seen and everything else. And I'm not taking any respect for him, man. He controls that cage, and he controls it well. And, you know, that's going to be one of the biggest difficulties is closing the distance with him and kind of getting him against the cage, you know. So, I mean, he's one, you know, I respect him very much as far as his fighting style and how he does stuff. It's a lot of it, you know, besides the control part, you know, he's a seasoned fighter, that's no doubt. You know, he knows exactly how to control himself in the cage and everything else like that. So that's probably going to be my biggest difficulty, is trying to get him in a position where I have the upper hand, you know. And, you know, he's just, I have a full respect for him. He's got a great sprawl. He's not easy to take down. He hits hard. And, you know, so there's some things that I've seen that I think I could take advantage of, but I just have to put myself in that position to do that.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, last of his five wins, actually, he's on a five winning streak, but two of those coming from decision. But obviously, you don't want to go to decision. You don't want to leave it to the judges. You want to knock them out. And, you know, for MMA fans, everyone loves two heavyweight guys just going at it and just stand and bang. There's nothing about it, huh?
Yeah, that's the, you know, and here, that's what I like to do anyway. You know, it's, this sport for me is not about, the technicalities or whatever. I love it because, you know, you get to go in there and either get knocked out or knock someone else out. And, you know, and that's the fun for me, I guess, you know, in a sick way. That's what I look forward to. So, you know, I'm looking forward to just going in there and slugging it out and see who's the better man. And, you know, if he wins, you know, God bless him, good luck in his career and everything else. And if I win, it just helps me go up that ladder one more time and kind of prove that I, you know, I do belong to be here.
And that's right. This is for a qualifying part of the heavyweight tournament that Bellator has. So this definitely,
yeah,
a win for you will be a good shot, or possibly a title shot later on in the future of Bellator. Now, tell me your opinion on Bellator, because you were in the UFC. You did fight for the UFC once. You also were part of the Ultimate Fighter there. But what is it about Bellator that you like compared to the UFC? I mean, they're two big different companies, but what would you say about Bellator that really is good to you?
Well, you know what, here's the thing, and I'll say this. They, you know, I got the call, and I was surprised, you know, and then I started thinking about Bellator a little bit more and everything else. They do give guys like me another shot. They do see talent in people and go, okay, you know, listen, he's ready to come back again to our show, and they also give guys like, you know, like Ryan an opportunity that maybe he's being passed over by another organization, you know. Whether it be Strikeforce or UFC or whatever, you know, he's got a hell of a record. I went to, you know, the UFC with an 8-1 record, and, you know, he's almost there, you know. So, you know, I think they give a lot of guys that are not known well across the country, you know, an opportunity to become known. And guys like me, you know, it just so happens to be Zach Jensen and Abe Wagner and those guys, you know, have fought in the UFC and they're on the same TV show that I was. And it kind of gives the guys an opportunity to get back, you know, what they once had or what they once lost. And, you know, that show, man, it can really screw people up. And I know it did a lot of people, and it can really screw your training and your timing and everything you had going for you because you're off a year almost, you know, and you don't realize that. But the things that Bellator, you know, the opportunities that they're giving the younger, you know, more hungry fighters like a Ryan Martinez, you know, I think is great because, you know, you don't know about these guys that are all the way across the country and everything. And this is a big promotion. This is, you know, this is one of the major promotions of MMA. It is the major one of the major promotions of MMA. So, you know, but as far as me, I think they see an opportunity for a fighter to get back on his the way he once was. Or maybe I'm just thinking that because that's the way my mindset is. But, you know, they I think they see talent in me, and I think they see, you know, a good opportunity to get me now because I can be successful later, you know, and that's the same thing is with Ryan, to get him now. And they put a lot of young guys in there, a lot of good fighters in there. I mean, there's always – every fight is against a guy that has a great record. You look at Bellator's heavyweight, I think I'm one of the guys with the most losses. You know, I'm one of the guys that has the most fights, but I'm also one of the guys with the most losses. So, you know, they're putting guys that are 7-1 versus guys that are 8-2 or guys that are 10-1 against guys that's 9-1. So they always put up great matchups in their shows, and I really respect that because they don't give no gimmies, you know.
Right.
So it's really interesting to see these young and up-and-coming fighters that are fighting for Bellator that have great records, and they look like they're seasoned guys. But to the world of entertainment, to the world of fans and everything, people might not know them except locally.
Right, and Mike, again, your fight will be airing on MTV2 starting at 8 p.m. That's when the main card, you'll be fighting Ryan Martinez. It's a heavyweight battle between these two. And Mike, a lot of things, and you're a heavyweight guy, and it seems like a lot of heavyweight guys are actually involved with this, but we've seen a lot of news. I'd like to get your opinion. In the news, a lot of MMA guys have been coming in the rescue for several folks that have been victims of robberies or whatnot. And you could just go online right now, and you're more than likely to find a story or two on how an MMA fighter saved the life of a woman who was being attacked or whatnot. What's your opinion?
Yeah, like James McSweeney just did it in Vegas. James McSweeney just happened to be a really good friend of mine, and I talked to him, and I seen it, and I hit him on a text message. I was like, damn, dude, you know. And that's the thing. You've got a breed of people. Now, for a long time, I thought, you know, what I went through as a football player, the hard coaches, the Woody Hayes-style coaches, you know, the old badasses, that that coaching style that has went away to kind of everybody gets a trophy for participating. Well, in MMA, that's different. Young or old, you don't get a trophy for participating. You get a win or a loss. And I think the guys that are, you know, training MMA, and that are involved in this are not scared to stand up, are not scared. You know, if something like that would happen, you know, I'd right in it too. You know, I'm not going to let something stupid happen to a perfectly innocent person if I have the capability. And then, like you see these MMA fighters, you know, breaking up a lot of robberies or, you know, situations that could be potentially harmful or even deadly, you know, that you see these MMA guys that step in because they're capable. We're out there. You know, we train every day, and that's what we train for, regardless if it's in a cage or, you know, on the street. We know how to handle ourselves in a situation that most people don't. And that puts us up on a pedestal as far as, you know, you might, when you see me or see like even a James McSweeney, you wouldn't think, oh, he's a hell of a professional fighter. But in that situation, whoever's causing the most problems, you know, robbery, whatever, you know, is going to have a real bad day, you know, if we get a hold of them. You know, I attribute it just because we know what we're doing.
Yeah, and ASFC here in South Florida, where we reside, you know, the cops are training MMA because they see that it's a big weapon to them that they can help them fight crime. But, you know, one thing I must say is that some of these guys, like McSweeney, they attack the alleged crook who has a gun, but yet you guys are not afraid of that. And I remember one day I was actually at an event, and a guy pulled out a gun, and one of the MMA fighters told me, he goes, I don't care if he has a gun. Are you, as an MMA fighter, you're that confident that you can defeat a guy who has a gun?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not that I might, you know, you might get shot, but it's not, we get punched in the face for a living, and we smile about it. You know, in a weird way, we're a little bit sick in the head too. So whoever's got the gun, it might be sick in the head, but we're probably a little bit off course, but have more control of ourselves. And in a situation like that, we you know, like I said, we get punched in the face and have to react immediately. Well, if somebody pulls a gun, we have to react immediately, so we can and we're able to because we're trained that way. You know, and that's what makes us a big asset to, you know, the general public. My biggest fear is, like, when I got arrested, my biggest fear is I brought MMA down, and that's something I never want to do. It's like, right. I was so disappointed in myself more about the image of him. Oh, here's MMA fighter, he got arrested, you know, and I don't want that. I want to be positive and bring positive things to the sport, because every kid that buys a tap-out shirt that goes to the bar and gets a fight makes us look stupid, you know, makes us look bad, you know, and people think, you know, that we're a bunch of thugs and we just get punched. No, for the most part, we're a bunch of educated family people. I mean, you look in MMA, most of us, I mean, I would almost go to say 80% of us have a college degree. You know, we have that desire and we're not scared in situations that are potentially very dangerous. I mean, that's just like being scared in the fight. You potentially can get very badly hurt in an MMA fight, but we know what to do. We've been trained that way, so... You know, if somebody's got a gun, good luck to them. You know, they better pull the trigger fast, you know, before any of us get a hold of them.
Yeah, I know, and you're definitely right about education. MMA fighters are educated. One that comes to mind, Shane Carwin, is an engineer. I think last time when he was fighting, he would work as an engineer and he would train as a fighter. So those who have the misconception on fighters, not, you know, and I think the thing that a lot of people, especially some of the media, one of the guys, and you know him very well because you were in the house, one of the in the media, especially here in South Florida, Kimbo Slice. Everyone knows Kimbo Slice. And, you know, Kimbo Slice became known because he was a street fighter. And then from then on, then he got a little fame on YouTube and then ended up on mainstream TV and in the UFC. It didn't go so well for him, and now he's doing boxing, doing a lot better for him there. But yeah, mm-hmm. that's true. You know, many people think that all these guys are thugs because they got tattoos and they can fight and yada 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 and blah blah blah. What do you think of that? Since you were in the house there with Kimbo Slice and so forth, what was the atmosphere around Kimbo Slice? Did you feel that they didn't have respect for him because of the way he came up into the game, or did you say, hey, he's just another fighter, another guy just trying to make it, just like myself?
Well, here's the thing. What people don't know about Kimbo is Kevin is a hell of a guy. Kevin is very smart. People think, oh, he's a thug and he's from Florida. No, Kevin's very money smart. That dude knows how to make money. And he told a story to me, you know, and it always stick with me. But, you know, at first I seen Kimbo, I was like, man, this guy, you know, Randy Couture is one of the greatest in the world, and he's not on the cover of ESPN. He's not on these talk shows. He's... You know, people are missing the point. But Kimbo did a lot of things for MMA. Kimbo made MMA kind of more worldwide. Yeah, he had, people want to see that thug, that bad guy that was on YouTube beating all these people up and everything. And Kimbo brought the media to us. And any media attention, it could be positive or negative. But he brought an awareness to it. And then it was up to us fighters to keep that going. And Kimbo was, you know... We're on the back porch, and we're talking. He goes, ma'am, he goes, Mike, he goes, what's a middle-aged white man or white woman scared of? He goes, a big black N-word with gold teeth. He goes, and I've made millions off of people being scared of me and the way I look. And he goes, I'm going to continue to make money. He goes, I'm going to continue to make money just on appearances and everything else. Because, you know, everybody's scared of that scary guy or something they're not used to or something they don't let in the world. Well, Kimbo was able to get into, but I mean, hell, my mom knows who Kimbo is, and, that's the thing. Most of my grandparents know who Kimbo is, you know, and that's the thing, you know, you might not agree with it, and you might think, oh, he's a thug and everything, but you want to watch him because you're kind of scared and you're kind of interested. And that's what Kimbo did, and Kimbo made money off it. You know, so I'm not hating on the guy for making money. That's what we all want to do. You know, we're all into this. And eventually, at the end of the day, we have to pay our bills. So, yes, you can say it's about, you know, it's about the competition. It's about this. And, yeah, a lot of that is, you know. And it could be for different things for other people. But for the most part, you know, there's got to be a paycheck for now. We get paid $50 an hour, or 50 cents an hour probably for all the time we train. But when you get a nice check, it pays off. But that's what Kimbo was just, he was just smart about it. He was using what he had available to him to make his money. And you can't ever, to me, if it's legal and everything else, hate on a person that's making something out of nothing. You know, so in a lot of ways, he helped MMA. In a lot of ways, you know, the MMA fighters, and you always heard comments, well, he's not a real fighter, I kick his butt. Well, yeah, you might be able to. However, he's in a situation where he can make the most money, so why hate on somebody that is doing what's good for him and his family? Why? If you're in that situation, you know, that was my comment. If you're in that situation, don't act like you wouldn't take the money. Don't act like you wouldn't be on that TV show or that interview or anything to help promote yourself to make more money later. You know, everybody would. But he just so happened to be in that situation where he could. And he, like he said, he goes, I'm making a ton of money off of it. He goes, and I'm doing the best I can by me. And that's what, at the end of the day, that's what you got to do. You got to take care of your family, you know. And so he found a niche just such like Roy Nelson. Roy Nelson looks like the average couch potato, and he looks like a big burly fat guy that sits on the couch and eats, you know, pork rinds all day. But I know Roy, I lived in Roy's house for 4 months, you know, and Roy didn't ever eat anything bad. That's just, and I've seen pictures of his mom and dad. They look the same as Roy. You know, they're from Kentucky. Everybody, you know, and he lived in Vegas his whole life. So, I mean, you know, he's got a gimmick, and so does Kimbo. And they just happen to work. People happen to like that. Roy is an average guy that looks, you know, but it's hard as hell to knock out. Kimbo was interesting because he's scary to people, and he's partially threatening, but you see him on TV, you're like, oh, my God, that guy's so great, you know. So in a lot of ways, it's interesting to see the gimmicky side with the true life side of these people. You know, it's not like a WWE where it's a made-up metaphor of a person and they can change their character at any time. These people really are that, and they make money off it, and that's great.
Yeah, and that was the most watched The Ultimate Fighter so far, when the one that you were on, mm-hmm. because of Kimbo Slice. Everyone wanted to see the whole Kimbo Slice hype, and then, and like you said, you can't really hate on the guy. He was on big time commercials. If I'm correct, I think he came out in a commercial of the Super Bowl. So the guy definitely put MMA on the map. He came out in big time magazines that guys that had been in MMA for a long time didn't get the opportunity. But as you said, it did definitely help the sport get on the map because of his image. And you're right. He is actually a very nice guy. I've met him personally, and he's all about that hustle and grind. And heck, you know, I gotta feed my family, so I gotta do what I have to do, whether you like it or not.
And I mean, you look at anybody that's successful in this life, and that has money, they're always gonna be hated on. That's my biggest thing, is I hate haters because, how dare you? Because you don't have enough guts and balls to stay up a couple extra hours and work your butt off like they are. You know, they seem like they have an easy life. If you ask 50 Cent, or you ask any, you know, like 50 Cent made the movie, was doing the soundtrack to the, you know, to Hustle and Flow, I think it was, and that guy didn't ever sleep. And somebody, in an interview, they asked him, they said, well, 50, when do you sleep? And he's like, man, sleep's for broke people. He goes, I'll sleep when I don't have an opportunity no more to make money and put myself in a position. So people that see that and are jealous, and they hate him, oh, how dare him. No, they're working, they're hustling, and they're doing what they got to do. And they're in an opportunity to make sure they can get as much money as they possibly can, why they can. And that you can't ever, to me, you can't ever hate on somebody like that, man. Regardless if you like them personally or don't like them personally, they're still doing what they got to do. So, you know, I respect that in everybody. And just like MMA fighters, man, people don't see the hours that we put in. People like, you know, today, you know, I just had a baby 3 days ago, but thank God my wife understands I've got to train else I'm going to lose on national television. You know, I've got to get in there and do my final cardio, my final walkthroughs, my final everything, you know, before the fight, you know. And so it's one of those things where people don't see the sacrifices we have to make. Of course I want to be home with my son and, you know, spend that time with my wife and my mother-in-law who's here and, you know, to help us out. But, you know, there's things that got to be done, too. And people, if they don't understand that sacrifice, you know, they have never had a dream that they've tried to take care of. You know, they try to complete that dream. And, you know, that's all we're trying to do as far as MMA fighters is we put in the hard work and we put in the time and effort, you know, when other people are sitting at home watching us.
Right. Well, Mike, thanks so very much, man, for taking some time and speaking to us. Check out Mike. He'll be in action this Friday at Bellator 8 p.m. on MTV2 against Ryan Martinez. Two heavyweights going at it. Mike, where can folks follow you on Twitter?
Man, I'm an old man. I don't do the Twitter. You can go on Facebook and look at me and Mike Wessel. But I don't do the Twitter. I guess I need to do that. But I'm not a Twitter guy because I don't even have an iPhone or anything. Like I've got an old school phone that I could text message really, really fast on. So if you want, look me up on Facebook and, you know, I'll be sure to accept you.
There you go, Mike. Well, thanks so very much, man, and good luck this Friday. And next time we'll have you here, you'll be back, get another win there for you.
Oh, I hope. And I'll put my best foot forward, and we're going to go at it Friday, man. I'm excited about it. It's time to go to war. So this is always a good week.
Awesome. We'll be watching. Mike, thanks so much, and congratulations on your baby as well.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good night. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. All right, well, there, great interview there with Mike Wessel will be in action this Friday night. Bellator, 8 p.m., MTV2. He's actually the first fight of the main card, so you want to make sure you tune in at 8 p.m. on MTV2. Great interview there with Mike, who gave us a little insight as how what it was to be in that house back then when he was on The Ultimate Fighter. And later on this week, we're going to have George and Laval, CFA president, on the program. He'll be talking to us about CFA 8 to find out as far as who is going to be on that card, some of the names, fighters who will be competing. As we know from the last show, CFA 7, we know that Vladimir Araujo versus Luis Santos will be fighting for the welterweight title for CFA. That is what we have been told. It was addressed during CFA 7. And let's see if anything else will be added on that fight card that is scheduled for sometime in October. All that being said, guys, make sure you tune in this Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. And the rest of us, have a good night. Remember to follow us on Twitter, guys. That's at RomanDH, at RomanDH. Make sure you follow all the action. And also this Tuesday, we'll be back talking some entertainment starting off at 9:30 as well, as we're going to welcome WWE veteran Savio Vega. That being said, good night, guys, and thanks for tuning in. Again, we're going to be replaying this same interview on Wednesday. Good night, guys.